morning. Brother Durant Barr preached on it, and it was an answer to someone's prayer that morning before they ever got here to the camp meeting. And then Brother Matthew Poole preached on it Monday, this past Monday morning, and I mean heaven come down. And now it's come by at the end. Glad there's a new world a coming. You pray for God's man. I appreciate Brother Leonard. He is a blessing to my life. I love his spirit. You hear him as he preaches God's word. I love you, brother.
Well, it is certainly an honor anytime that I come to this place. I appreciate the work that God has used Brother Steve and these other men to do in probably the greatest camp meeting that I know of in the state of North Carolina. And I tell you, it's just a testament to God's faithfulness. And it's a testament to God's people doing his will. I appreciate the Lord letting us be here tonight. I was going to tell you a quote last night from my dear friend who just went to glory. Last night, of course, Brother Charles Worley, my dear friend, we had his funeral last Saturday. And Brother Charles told me one time, he said, when I get in them big meetings like that and they bring me and hand me that microphone, he said, sometimes I'd rather they hand me a live hand grenade. Amen. And so sometimes it's not always. I told the family about what they said, the preacher said last night, Brother Winkler. And Brother Winkler, I have laughed on and off all day today envisioning you going up the steps to Air Force One. I think that may have been the only thing that stuck with me out of your message was how you... compared to, but anyway, I've laughed about that. But he said the butterflies, I believe Brother Dagenhart said last night that you don't ever get over the butterflies, but they fly in formation. Ours have been all over the place today, so we finally got through with them. But it is a joy to be here tonight. Let me say this before I begin my message. Brother Steve, I asked him if I could do this. Back at the back of the tabernacle, we do have some of our product, matter of fact, our newest CD. And I also, people had asked me for years about sheet music on some of my songs, and I finally broke down, and I've got a song book. It's got 30 of my best songs in it, in sheet music, in shape note music, and so if you can utilize that, we have those back there. And let me say about one more thing. We have a DVD back there that is, I don't have but about 20 of these, but they are free. And this DVD is a DVD that a friend of mine, Brother Rodney Hedrick, a preacher out of High Point, North Carolina, got a burden to do something to try to be a help to our soldiers who were coming back from the battlefield with PTSD. And they decided to do a documentary film. They interviewed several soldiers' families and just really trying to help us understand how to help folks that's come back. It's a shame we send them off to war, they come back broken, and then we don't do anything to try to help them. And in this DVD, there's a lady doctor that works with soldiers all the time, but it deals with it from a faith perspective. And they actually filmed a couple of scenes at our church. I'm in the film myself, but I have some of those. If you have a soldier, a family member who suffers from that, you go back and we'll give you one of those free. Those are not, they're also, I will say this, they're on all the streaming platforms, YouTube, all of those, you can see them online. And the title of the movie, the documentary, is Soldier's Kiss. And so I know that would be a blessing. And then I'll warn you about our new CD back there. I wrote all the songs on there. Brother Rodney helped me co-write one. But before I let you take that home, I have to tell you there's a song on there that's not really, I don't know if it's a gospel song. It's got gospel truth in it, but I don't know that it's a gospel song. It's a funny song, and I'd never written a funny song and put it on a CD, but I was in a hotel room in West Virginia. I was preaching a revival meeting up there, and they were cutting some music tracks for me in Nashville on some songs I'd written, and I was texting back and forth with them, and these words came to me, and I just typed them out, and I sent them to the producer down there, and he texted me back. He said, this is hilarious. He said, we need to cut a music track for this, and you need to sing this song. I said, no, I can't sing that song. I said, because I need somebody with a country-sounding voice to sing that song. And the title of the song is the Church Snowflake Song. And we did it to the tune of the old country song, "Please Help Me, I'm Falling in Love with You." And now some of y'all done wrote me off right now. And but I said I can't do it. At that time, Brother Ben James, I think maybe Ben has been down here. He was doing some singing with a fine young man. And he sang the lead on that song for us. And Brother Cameron, my son-in-law, and my daughter sang backup with him on it. And since that, Brother Ben has sang with Doyle Lawson for a year, and now he's with Daly and Vincent. And I said, finally, after all these years, we finally got a bona fide singer on one of our CDs. Amen. But anyway, it's in our modern day culture, folks are acting so strange. Snowflakes easily triggered by the least little thing. And they're filling our church pews, and they don't have a clue. When the Lord turns the heat up, they'll be leaving you. Please help me, I'm melting and leaving you. We're just not getting fed here, and there's nothing to do. All you preach is the Bible and declare that it's true. Please help me, I'm melting and leaving you. There's two more verses. I can't sing them tonight, praise God. But anyway, I'm telling you what, so don't hold that against me, amen. I just wanted to warn you if you get that CD, amen. Oh, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and then I also want to read first in the book of Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to give you a quick thought tonight, and I'll give way to Brother Winkler. I appreciate this man of God. Amen. He's a special blessing to me. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll read a few verses there, and then I want to begin in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, in the scene where I'm reading tonight, we find Jesus has resurrected from the grave, and he has now gathered his disciples on a hillside, and he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven, and these are the words that he says in verse 49 to them. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Yeah. Now, I think that's interesting, and it's interesting to me that the last thing Jesus told his disciples before he ascended back to heaven was, he said, "Fellas, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving you here, and I'm leaving you with a work to do, but you cannot do it unless you're endued with power from on high." Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." And here in verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you would enable me now for just a few minutes, God, in this place, that I might bring a message that would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to recognize our crying need of this hour. Lord, I pray, would you help us now in this place, and we'll give you praise for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. As Jesus left this world and ascended back into heaven, he said, "Fellas, you have a work to do," and he said, "but you have to have power from on high." I think that's interesting. Amen. That when you come over into 2 Timothy and he begins to outline the conditions of the last days,
right before the coming of the Lord, that one of the characteristics is, he said they were in that day. There's a lot of things we identify with all these things that we read in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But I think the one probably that we can identify the most with is this, that they'd be having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away. We've got the best buildings we've ever had. We've got the best singing we've ever had. We've got all of the things that should make us successful in the ministry. But the one crying thing we need today in all of our life, not just my church, not just your church, but it is the power of Almighty God. Amen. I promise you this, we've learned to do through methods and machinery. We can accomplish a whole lot through those things. But I'm here to tell you, one of the greatest things that you'll ever experience is when God's power fills your life and God's power fills your church. Hallelujah to his name. I begin to think about that idea of power and that having a form of godliness but denying the power. There was something came to my mind. I brought something with me tonight. I wanted to illustrate this. Back in 1933, there was a man in Dayton, Ohio. He was a news reporter for a newspaper. And he was out one day. He was walking down the street, and he looked, and there's some little old boys up on a hill and a fella up there, and they'd made some little old cars, and they was riding them down off the hill. And he got interested in that. He got to watching them little fellas, and he got, one of those light bulb moments, and he said, they were racing against each other. And he said, you know what? We ought to organize a race. And he got together with me. He said, hey, tell all your friends that tomorrow we're going to have a race and just make what little car they can bring. And said, bring it. We're going to have. And you know what I'm talking about tonight. That began the birth of the Soapbox Derby. I brought a model here of the 1951 winner of the Soapbox Derby. On the side of it's the Sun Gazette Company. In 1951, this is the model car that won the Soapbox Derby. And as I began to think about that, that still is going to this day, by the way. It's still every year. They have the championships, who's going to win, and all of that. But you see, in the beginning of this thing, this is what I'm interested in. I said, they begin to build these little old cars. They're having a race. They're all in the race, but they ain't one of them got no power. Matter of fact, that looks like a car. It's got a steering wheel. You can sit in it and you can ride. But when there ain't nothing there to power what's taking place here. Can I say to you today, if there's one thing we don't need a form and we don't need a fashion. We need God to come in our midst and do something we can't do, and it's going to take the power of a holy God. If there's ever been a generation of people, we're facing a world filled with sin like we've never witnessed before. Oh, I know sin's always been rampant in days gone by. There were always people that was addicted to alcohol, moonshine, all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We're dealing with a culture today that's faced more demons and devils than you've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take the power of a holy God to transform and change their lives. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, yes. I thought about this. I was reading a quote. Matter of fact, I heard this quote on the radio, and it kind of, when I heard who was doing the quoting, I thought, whoa, this dude knows what he's talking about. And it was the lead singer of a group called Motley Crue. And this is what he said. He said, you'll either deal with your demons or your demons will deal with you. I said, oh my, I guess he knows a little bit about that. Can I say to you, there's problems that we face. Matter of fact, things walk through our doors today that we never imagined in our life we'd have to be confronted with. And the only way we can handle it, the only way we can get help is to have the power of a holy God in our midst. Our church needs power. I remember some time back, a few years ago, there was a lady came to visit our church. And I asked her, I said, did somebody invite you? She said, no. And I said, well, how did you get here? This is what she said to me, Brother Steve. She said, sometimes when I drive by this church, it's almost like it's calling out to me. I said, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be wonderful if our churches would get the power of God in our midst so that sinners, when they pass by, they'd feel the pull of the Holy Ghost to come in our midst. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want that power. I thought about this soapbox racer. It's a lot like our churches today. It's built by the hands of men. Matter of fact, they could build it any way they wanted to. And believe me, there are plenty of churches being built the way men want to be building them in these days. Matter of fact, it was built by the plans of men, but it was built with pennies too. You did that. Matter of fact, they said that first one that ever won the soapbox derby was built from the lumber out of an old saloon bar. Didn't cost nothing. Well, let me tell you something. Them NASCAR fellers, you see them cars that's got all kinds of power. It didn't take pennies to build that. Matter of fact, it took a lot to build that. Can I say something? You know the reason I feel like we ain't got much power today? Because it costs too much to get it. Amen. Oh, it was built by the hands of men. It was built for pennies. Oh, that soapbox racer. But when you think about that and comparing it to our churches, you see, the thing about this thing right here, it relates a lot to our churches in that it looks like a car, drives like a car, but when you lift the hood, ain't nothing there. I wonder if they lift the hood Sunday in our churches, would there really be anything there? You know, a soapbox car is awful quiet. It's awful quiet. Now, I'm not all about emotionalism or that type thing, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If the Holy God of heaven sets down in you, in the midst of you, every now and then, there's going to be something come out of you. Amen. I enjoy it. That's why I like coming to this camp meeting. Y'all get with it. I love it. Amen. But I wonder sometime, Brother Steve, will my grandbabies be able to find a church when they become adults that's still got the Holy Ghost power of God in the midst? I don't know about you. We need it today, in this day that we live. Amen. You're sitting at a red light, and you're in your little rice burner, and one of them Chevy guys pulls up. I'm throwing a crumb to the Chevy guys tonight. They pull up, one of them 67, 57, whatever it is, Chevrolets, or maybe even a Camaro, and they're sitting there, and they're waiting on the light to change, and they're going, and you're sitting there, just looking. And you're saying, man, I wish that guy had quit that. You know what the problem is, don't you? He's got power and he wants everybody to know it. Wouldn't it be good if the church had power and everybody knew it? Wouldn't it be good?
Come on, bro.
You know the reason this ain't got no power? You lift the hood, you know there's some things missing. Ain't no spark plugs in it. Y'all a little slow here in Taylorsville. I thank God for them spark plugs,
yes, sir, I do,
that God has planted in our midst. I've been pastor to some of them down through the years. Man, you'd be in a service and it'd be kind of dry, and all of a sudden one of them spark plugs go to testifying. One of them old saints of God. I remember I had a little lady in my church. Her name was Miss Ida. When I was a kid in school, she was the school lunch lady. And I'd go through, get my tray as a little old kid. I ended up being her pastor, and she was one of them little prayer warriors. And Miss Ida, when she got plugged in, she didn't care if anybody else got plugged in or not. And when she got in the glory, her face would shine. It put me in the mind of what the Bible said about Moses on the mountain, and as they came down off the mountain, face shining. I thought about that, and I remember one night, I was just a young pastor there at the church. It was on a Wednesday night. We didn't have but about 30 people there, and I was making the announcements. You know how spiritual that is. I'm reading off a list of things. Now we're going to have this meeting over here. We're going to do this over here. We're going to do this and do that. And all of a sudden, I heard a commotion in the pews. And I raised my head up and looked back, and there stood Miss Ida looking up into heaven, clapping her hands. And her face was shining. And man, I watched that little lady reach up and pull heaven down in a service that night. And for the next hour and a half, we didn't even know what hit us in that place. I'm talking about a spark plug. I'm talking about somebody that said, hallelujah, I want to do what God wants me to do. I've got a song. I've got a testimony. I've got something I need to do for a holy God. Amen. I've had a ton of them people down through the years. I had another elderly gentleman. He was all stooped over, walked on a cane. He'd worked hard all his life. Brother Melvin Brown. He sat right on the back pew. Now, you wouldn't never hear much out of Brother Melvin unless the Holy Ghost showed up. But if it did, you better get away from him. He wouldn't even know what he's doing. He'd hurt you. And I'll never forget Brother Melvin had some heart issues, and they'd put him in the hospital. I went to see him, and we were getting ready to have a meeting at the church. I went to see him that day in the hospital, and I said, Brother Melvin, I said, I'm sorry to hear that you're not feeling well. I said, I hope you get better. I said, You just do what the doctors say now, and maybe they'll help you. And this is what he said to me, laying in the hospital bed. He looked at me and said, preacher, you pray I get out of this hospital so I can get to the meeting next week you've got scheduled. And I, being the good pastor, I said, now, Brother Melvin, don't you worry about coming to the meeting. We want you to be well. We want you to take care of yourself. And then it's when he put me in my place. He said, preacher, if I'm not in the hospital as a member of Dyson Grove Baptist Church, it's my duty to be there. I said, sign me up for 100 more like that. And I remember he got out of the hospital, and we were there on Sunday morning, and they had put a heart monitor on him, kind of monitoring to see what they could read and everything. And we was there at about 15 to 12, and the Holy Ghost dropped in the building. I'm talking about people getting happy, people coming to the altar, and I mean, the choirs are singing and people are getting right with God. And I looked up, and there Brother Melvin was. He walked in on a cane. But I saw him get up, and he came down the aisle. And he was hopping on one leg with that cane in the air. And he was a-shouting all the way up the aisle. And that heart monitor was swinging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And man, when I saw that, I got tickled. I said, I'd like to be there when they read that thing. I said, man, everything looks good on this guy. Everything good right here. Whoa! What in the world happened to this man at 15 to 12 on a Sunday? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost showed up, and God ignited a spark plug. Amen. This here ain't got no spark plugs in it. And the sad part of it is a lot of our spark plugs are going on to heaven. But I got good news for you. God's in the spark plug recruiting business. Amen. You say, preacher, what is it about this soapbox? A form without any power. Well, really, the only working mechanisms on it's steering and braking. That's pretty much where we're at in our churches. You try to get something going and see if they don't put the brakes on you. Amen. I've often said if I was them fellas that designed church pews, I'd take them songbook holders off the back and I'd put fake steering wheels on the back of the pews. Kind of like them kids when you take them to the mall and they got them little cars, you put the quarter in it. That kid's sitting there, man, he's working that wheel. He really thinks he's doing nothing, and he ain't really doing nothing at all. Maybe that'd pacify some Baptists if they had something to make them think they was doing something. Hey, I'm just a meddling now, Brother Winkler. You're going to have to get up here. You may have to climb some steps to pick this thing out of the ditch tonight, praise God. I thought about, you know, really the only thing it's good at is going downhill. That's the saddest thing you'll ever see is when a church is in decline. But I've got good news for you. God's in the business of revival. God's in the business of resurrecting.
If I told you, and I don't have time to tell you all, I've still got the green light, but I think they're giving me extra time tonight. But I'll say this. When I went to Dyson Grove Baptist Church, the little church set right next to the creek up there, 5 years before I even went there, it had almost closed the doors. It was down to 10 people, one family left. A lot of things had been done wrong by pastors previous. Never had really a big congregation at all. But my little old dad is in heaven. His burden was for little struggling churches. My daddy went down there and told him, said, I know you just can't pay a preacher. He said, I don't want no pay. He said, if you want me to help you, I'll help you till we can get it back on its feet. My little old daddy went down there and he labored for almost 5 years, took his own money and helped work on the old building and tried to. Those men like that, they don't get the spotlight here, but they'll get it over yonder. And he got it up till he was running about 35 or 40 on a Sunday morning. And he felt like God was through with him. And I was just a young preacher. I wasn't interested in pastoring. I'd seen too many pastors lose their hair and their mind. And I said, I want to keep both of mine if I can. And when my dad told him he was going to step aside, he felt like God was through with him. They asked me, said, would you be our pastor? I said, man, I'd have to pray about this. Even though my dad had got it up, they had $600 in the banks, what they had. Doing the best he could do with them. Getting it up off. I mean, he had it up off the mat. He had done CPR for 5 years and had it up off the mat, setting up. And he said, I believe God can use somebody else to take it further. And God wouldn't let me get away from it, and I went down there. And I told God, I said, the first year I'm here, Lord, I want to see 100 people in this church the first year I'm here. And when I got down there, all of a sudden, here come people started coming, getting saved. Folks that hadn't been in church in years. And man, all of a sudden, it wasn't long, I looked up and we had 100 on the board. And I said, God, I believe you're in this. And God began to work, and we began to knock out walls, and we worked on the little old church so much that we couldn't do nothing else to it. We was crammed in there like sardines. When we had Jubilee, we had the bucket of lard at the back door. We had to grease them to get them in. Now, that's an evangelistic embellishment right there. But there was one night we had so many people in that little old building that the fire marshal, he came. They wouldn't have put me in prison. They'd have probably just took me straight to the electric chair. There's so many people in that little building. But God began to do a work. And for 29 years now I want to look at that little church that had $600 in the bank. They've got 40 acres of property. They've got $1 million building sitting up there, a tabernacle beside the creek. And God's blessed us greater than I could ever imagine in my wildest dreams. But I'll tell you how, it wasn't nothing I did. It was simply the power of Almighty God. I had a preacher, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. I had a preacher, Dr. Ron Leslie, years ago. Used to teach for Dr. Seitler at Tabernacle years ago, and he came to preach for me. I was just a young preacher, and he was amazed at how the church was growing. And he said, preacher, let me ask you something. What are you doing to cause all this to happen? He thought maybe I'd tell him, well, we're having this visitation program, and I'm not against those, but we're doing this and we're doing that. I said, well, really, just praying and preaching. Amen. I know that sounds pretty simplistic, but I said, if you teach people to pray, the power of the Holy Ghost will get into place, and you won't have to worry about filling up the pews. God will fill up the pews. I don't want to be a form without any power. I don't want to be in a soapbox church. I want to have some power. I want the world to know that the church still has power today. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for what you've done. Lord, take these feeble thoughts tonight and encourage your people. Encourage these preachers, I pray. Father, I pray you'd encourage some spark plugs in this place.
God, some people who would praise you, some people who would be used greatly of God to encourage the saints of God and the men of God in our day. And Father, we ask you now to do that that's pleasing in your sight, and God will give you praise in Jesus' name. Preacher, you come.